Please quiet your minds and your hearts for the lighting of our candles. Life is too short to wake up with regrets. So love the people who treat you right. Love the ones who don't just because you can. Believe everything happens for a reason. If you get a second chance, grab it with both hands. If it changes your life, let it. Kiss slowly, forgive quickly. God never said life would be easy. He just promised it would be worth it. Okay, we can stand for the call to worship. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day pours forth speech, and night declares knowledge of our God. God's wisdom is written in the stars. It is seen and heard to the ends of the earth. When we see God's teachings in the clouds or hear the symphony of the birds, our minds are enriched, eyes are enlightened, our souls are revived. Then we shall bless God's name with our words and with the silence between them.
God, your wisdom speaks in our streets, cries out from our intersections, and calls our names. Wisdom hopes we will stop, listen, and learn. Wisdom beseeches us to turn our faces and our ears to you. Wisdom urges us to bless your name with our speaking and our silence. May we speak and bless your name, O God, now and always. Amen.
Children's time? Are we going to go that far?
We'll do our hymn.
Oh.
Our opening hymn.
Okay, we're going to do the opening hymn. 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
Dusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message, and Jackie Teets will be our pianist today. The children want to come up for the children's message, please.
Steve, I'm going to ask if I can borrow your sign there for a minute. Can I borrow your sign? Okay. I asked Steve if he read it every day, because I would read it every day. I think it's a really good thing to be reminded of. If God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. So we have lots of drama in our life sometimes, drama that we don't even want. And sometimes it challenges us, and I don't know at what point you'll be up here and what point you maybe are going to classes or something today, but I'm talking a lot about words today and how we need to be very watchful of the words that we say and the words that we use. So sometimes when God brings us to a challenge or a stress-filled moment, we want to say words that maybe don't make God proud. We want to lash out when we get angry. We want to say things that can be very hurtful to people. So this morning, our scripture started out by leading me in this direction and saying that we need to be reminded of that. And even though I've read that scripture lots and lots of times, and you've probably heard it lots and lots of times, it's always good to remember how important it is to God that when he brings us to things, that he's also going to bring us through it. But in bringing us through it, he wants us to be kind and generous and humble and meek, and he wants us to be like him, more like him every day. So I know you probably face challenges in school. You face challenges maybe even on your when you're in sports or when you're playing with your friends, that maybe we get into disagreements once in a while, or things just aren't as we would hope they would be. Remember that kindness is showing Jesus to other people, even when, in our opinion, they don't deserve it. If we're kind, even when people are mean, then we're showing them Jesus. Will you pray with me this morning? Thank you, Lord, for teaching us to be mindful of our words. It's something that we all have to work on always. And we're mindful today, Lord, that we are reflecting you more perfectly when we do that, when we're kind, patient, gentle, loving. So, Lord, be with us this day as we continue that to learn that lesson through life. Some of us older folks still are working on that. We are a work in progress. So help us with that, Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen. And I just want to say that we are very, very, very glad that our kids are all back with us today, and many more to follow, I'm sure. But we are very happy. And we celebrate you today. You can be dismissed now at this time.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They have no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes the circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than more pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgressions. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
We have many prayer needs, and I'm sure many on our hearts. Unspoken needs in the room today? Anyone with unspoken needs or prayer requests? The Lord has seen and knows. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for being in the midst of us this day, for sending your Holy Spirit into your house, for the blessing of being here and having the sun shine through these beautiful windows. Lord, we thank you for caring and loving us so much that you receive our words through song, prayer, meditation, and may they be pleasing, Lord, in your sight and to your ears. We thank you for all that you've done for us during the week. We thank you for gathering us together here today and making it possible, because we long for you, O Lord. We long for your love, your wisdom, for your grace. We long for the words of your mouth when we cannot find our own. We long for the courage to speak, O God. We long for you, for your love, your wisdom, your grace. We long for the words of your mouth when we cannot find our own. And Lord, when we are reaching out and trying to navigate through the pathways of life each and every day, the challenges that we might face, the obstacles that might come in our way, we thank you for helping us to get past those by your grace, by your mercy, with your strength and with your wisdom. You've heard our prayers earlier in the service. You know the needs of many on our prayer list. We are grateful today. Some of us had the opportunity to see Melissa yesterday, and we are so glad to see that she has passed her surgery and up and about and was able to be here. We continue to pray for those that are healing, for those that are grieving. We continue to pray for those that are awaiting test results or procedures, for those that are struggling with their health, for those that are struggling with spirituality, for those that don't know you, Lord. We lift all before your throne of grace for your healing and mighty touch. We are grateful each and every day. We know that the air we breathe and everything that we are blessed with each and every day come from you. So we give you all of our thanks, all of our praise, our adoration. In the name of Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray these words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And now we'll be blessed by the choir anthem. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. And we thank you, Jackie, for filling in and for doing all that you've been doing in Melissa's absence. Oh, she looked really good yesterday. She really looked good yesterday. So that's a praise. That's a praise. Yes, yes. If she doesn't have any problems from here for the next months, so that's a good thing. Our scripture reading this morning, if you'll turn to James chapter 3. James is towards the end of the New Testament, verses 1 through 12 this morning. Mine is entitled Taming the Tongue. That's quite a challenge, isn't it? Chapter 3 of James. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets a whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I read this little tidbit. I'm always reading little bits and pieces of things here and there, and I thought that this tied in well with what our message is about this morning. It says, when you're going through adversity, realize the tremendous power of your words and tell yourself, I will watch the words that come out of my mouth. This is a chance to die to myself and live for Jesus. I don't know if I had ever thought of it quite in that way before. We have a chance every day to die to ourselves and live for Jesus. I can still hear the commotion from my kitchen a couple of years ago. And some of you, I know, can relate to this because you've had building projects going on. You've had remodeling projects. And I know that you know the mess, the real mess that is involved before it gets better. Well, we had decided to take out a partial wall that we had separating our family room and our kitchen so that it would be more open, and we really needed an island to store more of our utensils from the kitchen. So we all thought it was just a great idea to take out that little piece. It was interesting and entertaining to watch the whole demo and building and recreating process unfold. Hollis was a licensed builder years back, so he has lots of tools that he's accumulated over the years. And as this project was winding down, I noticed something. He used many of those tools in his craft, some of the same ones that he used to smash the existing wall to smithereens, were the ones that, and the same ones that he used to carefully create this new island. His hammer brought destruction, but then a short time later, it created something beautiful and necessary. The same is kind of true with our words. Though words can bring life, they can also deal a death blow. If you've ever been on the receiving end of some of those words that, as much as you want to get them out of your head, they just keep reverberating until sometimes I have to say, Satan, get behind me, or you know, I'm not going to think about that. I refuse to think about that anymore. That's over and done with. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, warns Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Have you ever been on that receiving line of life-giving words? And I hope you all have at some time or another. Then at other times, has something cruel or maybe unkind been spoken to you where the words lodged in your brain and you feel like they're permanently embedded there? And doesn't Satan like that? Keep throwing those words back to make you feel like you're inadequate or that there's something wrong with you or that you're not quite good enough or up for the task. Nevertheless, those words get in there, bringing sorrow to you every single time that they repeat themselves. I remember a mentor in the church where I grew up who was sharing this particular part of the gospel message with me as a teen, saying to me one afternoon, I just know God has great plans for you. You love people. You love God's word. I can't wait to see where life takes you. And most of all, I believe in you. I'll never forget that conversation. Her message to this often insecure girl, especially at that age, has stuck with me just as strongly as some of the negative words that may have lodged themselves inside me. I believe in you. My dad wrote me a similar message when I was on my Emmaus walk, and it meant the world to me. Words that he hadn't spoken verbally, but that he wrote in this eloquent letter that I didn't even know he would be capable or interested in doing. Words of encouragement that we all need from time to time. A friend of mine shared a similar experience of hers. She tried out for the cheerleading team when she was in college as a result of encouraging words that had been spoken to her. And after tryouts, all the candidates gathered their things and headed back to their dorm rooms, awaiting the following day's announcement telling who had been chosen. However, the two coaches in charge pulled my friend aside to speak to her. They sat her down and said that she had made the team. And she was absolutely over the moon, ecstatic. But hard on the heels of that news came this stinging words that reverberated in her mind for many years to come. However, we would like you to lose a little weight. It was as if they had knocked the breath right out of her lungs. They continued, even though you're one of the most skilled girls, we have to keep up a certain image. Therefore, we would like you to lose a little weight. Although that phrase was the one going through her head, it was not what her heart was saying and hearing. Her heart heard this: we would like you if you would lose a little weight. Both of these phrases from her past have echoed in the chambers of her soul over the years. The life and hope infusing, "I believe in you," and the encouraging, discouraging, crushing, "We would like you to change so we could like you more." This very day, you are going to have opportunities to use your words. Sometimes we like to use our words a little too much. But in our interactions with the people who cross our path, family, friends, co-workers, many times complete strangers, we can utter words that instill hope and wholeness and courage to others, or our statements can absolutely kill the moment, dashing dreams, crushing confidence, and dragging someone's spirit down. We had a couples Bible study that we did for a while. I was not a pastor yet, but we attended this, and it was held at the parsonage of the church, and we would sit around, and we were listening, and I think it was Philip Yancey that had put this on, but it was a video. We'd watch this video, and then we'd have all kinds of discussion. But one thing that stuck in my mind all these years later is this little section that he focused on, where we can be encouragers or we can be joy suckers. Just like a balloon that you let the air out, you can come home ecstatic, just excited as anything for some good news or something you want to share. And the person that greets you at the door makes all the difference in the world as to whether that joy just got sucked out from the bottom right forward, or whether that joy gets to be exclaimed and enjoyed and treasured and savored. We have the ability to be encouragers or joy suckers. Someone that immediately finds the downside, immediately finds negativity, is going to greet you at the door and lambaste you for whatever you forgot to do, whether it's at work, whether it's in the wherever you find yourself. God gives us an opportunity, like I just shared, to make a difference. We will have many opportunities today to make a difference with our words. I believe in you. I believe in you just the way you are. But as Max Lucado says in his book, but God loves you too much to leave you, right? He's going to help us build our character. He's going to help us build our faith. He's going to help us to build up that confidence in ourselves that we were created in his image. We are who he has called us to be, and we are always, always a work in progress. Those opportunities. We don't want to be those dream dashers, those crushers of confidence. You know, I guess I just want to say, and I can say it because she's not sitting up here. Peyton tried out for the volleyball team. She wanted to do this last year, and she did not make the team last year. And she worked for a whole year watching videos, reading what she could read, practicing. She'd practice out in the yard with her mom and dad. She worked really, really hard. And this year, she was accepted on the team. And she's a sports crazy kid, so when she didn't make last year's team, it was hard. But this year, when she did make the team, I believe she's been an asset to that team. In the first game she had last week, her coach sent her this wonderful, special message. And I can't remember exactly how it went, but it was, "You are a pleasure to have on this team. And we are honored that you are here with us." And I thought, what an awesome, awesome thing. She may have done that for every kid on the team, I'm not sure. But what an uplifting, building up of one's enthusiasm. When somebody encourages you, it makes you want to try even harder, doesn't it? What a wonderful, awesome thing to share Christ's love by building others up. Whether we're speaking face to face, talking on the phone, or even using our digital tongues in a comment thread or a text message, remember this: our words are powerful and they have consequences. Will your words be a weapon of demolition or a wonderful tool that creates something of beauty that someone is never going to forget for the rest of their lives? Something that they can draw on when they're having a struggle or when they think they're not good enough. May we be ever mindful of the way that our words impact those to whom we speak. Let's aspire to use our speech with godly purposes in mind. To build, not to break. To bless, not to badger. To praise, not to pounce. And I know you can do it. Why? Because I believe in you. I believe in all of you. You can imagine how many words an average person speaks in a day. We could probably fill a library in a lifetime. And if we did, think about this for just a minute. What would the titles of those books be? The tongue has a powerful influence on others. God is looking for a holy life. And one of the key areas that we have to guard with all of our diligence is our tongue. Now, when I say a holy life, immediately, sometimes there's a shutdown because there's probably not a one of us in this room that considers ourselves holy. We are a work in progress. But I believe what it means to be holy is to be striving every day to be more like the one who created us in his image. And when we look for a holy life, it means that we're looking to be as kind, compassionate, loving, caring, respectful of others as we would want the same done to us. The truth is, we all have issues at times, especially when buttons get pushed, when you hit a nerve, immediately something wants to spur out, right? It just wants to just scream out. That's probably why the Bible says so much about the tongue. We all struggle with it. Proverbs is absolutely filled with verses about both the positive and negative aspects of the tongue. If you count the terms tongue, lips, mouth, words, they appear over 170 times in the Bible. So it must be important. James 3, 4 and 5 says, just as I shared with you earlier, take ships as this example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by this very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. And we know that we can take our attitude and our words in whatever direction we choose to take them. And sometimes if you start out in one direction, you just keep right on going and you can't suck the words back in. Because they've already entered into ears and they've already been imprinted into heads. Speaking negatively is costly in the spiritual realm. While watching what we can say can bring spiritual reward. We know the story in Jericho. God's people marched around the city in silence for 6 whole days. And when they finally shouted on the 7th day, the walls came down immediately. Their silence and then shouting at the right time won them a victory. This is true of us individually as well. If we guard our speech, we can win great victories. Think about this. When we walk and speak in the power of the Holy Spirit, we defeat the enemy. When we abide in Christ, His Spirit flows from our lives in word and deed everywhere we go. We just are spreading Christ along our path. When we enter a place where fear is evident, we can come in the spirit of peace and speak words of life. Our words can be kind and full of love. Our actions, along with words spoken with gentleness and peace, all of those things that the Bible tells us, peace, self-control, they demonstrate love even in the midst of our enemies. We read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's teaching us humility and brokenness and developing our characters. We're reminded in those moments to watch our tongues and speak words that would uplift and bless others. Yes, we might even feel like we're being tested sometimes. What will we choose? What will we choose? God blesses us even in the midst of hardships. When you're going through adversity, realize the tremendous power of your words and tell yourself that I will watch the words that come out of my mouth. This is a chance. It's an opportunity to die to myself and live for Christ. Jesus spoke plainly about our idle words as well, yet his warning often goes unheeded. Jesus said that for every idle word, there will be a time of accounting in the day of judgment. We would expect Jesus to condemn profane and vile uses of the tongue, but idle words? Idle words are things we say carelessly, without concern for their impact on others. We too quickly assume that the sins of our tongue are minor sins, sins that God is just going to overlook. And yet Jesus was fully aware of the devastating nature of our words. These are quotes by Henry and Richard Blackaby. You get a chance to use your words today to build create encouragement to make a difference in some young person's life or some older person's life. So many times I hear people say, oh, I wish I would have had an opportunity to say this or that. Don't let those opportunities go by without getting a chance. Because when you're building someone up, you're sharing Christ. You're sharing Christ. Some of the folks that had the most confidence in me as a very young person are the people who exuded Christ the most and who made me want to serve him even more. Let us pray. Father, please help us carefully craft our words so that they impart life and encouragement to all of those around us. Help us honor you with everything that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can have our ushers come forward and our offerings today. For your holy word, O God, we give you thanks. For your enduring wisdom, O God, we give you praise. For your call to speak truth, O God, we give you glory. Grant us the courage to share your gifts this day and all days. Amen. And amen. Our closing hymn is 102. Now thank we all our God. People of God, go into the world and speak God's blessing and God's grace in word and in action. Amen and amen. Let's sing Blessed Be the Tie as our closing today. We might be filled for the week. God bless you and join us for fellowship.